It's good to be with you this evening as we have another great opportunity to open God's Word, to be able to study it, to allow it to build us up in the most holy faith. I was just thinking as I was sitting there, I guess we've just finished our third week of class, and I love having the opportunity to be able to teach in the school. It's an encouraging thing to see so many young people, even older people, coming to school to learn more about the Word of God, to invest themselves in a very, very intense study for 2 years. I'm studying the book of Mark with the first year students, and as you begin a study of that nature, there are a lot of ground rules you have to lay in such a study. And one of the things that we had to do after the first week is come up with a way that the students would be able to ask questions. The class itself is about 50 minutes long, and I believe during one day there was like 8 questions in the class. And any time you have that many questions, it's really hard to move through the material. And so I said, hold on just one second. Number one, your questions are important, and we want to answer your questions, but let's deal with the questions at the end of each chapter. And so what I had the students do was email me their questions. And so as we're studying Mark 1 or we're studying Mark chapter 2, when they have those questions from the text, they would email me those questions. And at the end of that study, at the end of that chapter, we would take about 10 minutes and we would go through and consider their questions. And what I noticed from the students was they asked really good questions. Questions that I never really thought about from the text. And so I wanted them to know that I really appreciated their questions. And it really got me to thinking, you know, as we study God's Word, and hopefully we study God's Word on a daily basis, many of the passages that we read are phrased as questions. And so as you're studying God's Word, you're looking at passages, you're going to see questions. And a lot of times when we consider questions, it causes us to really think. That's what I'm saying about the students and their questions. It really causes me to think, to think deeper looking at the text. Well, tonight we're going to be looking at a series of questions from the Old Testament, from the New Testament. As I said, many of the passages that we read and that we study are phrased as questions. And we're going to look at some of those passages that are phrased as a question because it gives us something to really discuss and to think upon. If you would, turn with me to Genesis chapter 4. Let's look at our first question. And we're going to try to cover as many as we can. And I want to allow these questions that we find from the Scriptures to cause us to think on a spiritual level. Now, you know the story here in Genesis chapter 4 about these two brothers, and we know what Cain did to his brother Abel in Genesis chapter 4. I want to look at verse number 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, "Where is Abel thy brother?" And he said, "I know not." Notice the question. "Am I my brother's keeper?" You stop and think about that question. That question gives us something to think about. It really gives us something to talk about from the Scriptures. You see, we can take this question, "Am I my brother's keeper?" This is something that Cain is asking after he has done a horrible thing. But as we shed light on it, as we take this question and make application, we see that this question can really help us understand our relationship with one another. Are we our brother's keeper? In other words, are we responsible for one another? Well, as we look at the Scriptures, we are responsible for one another. We are to help one another as we go through this life. I would encourage you sometime to read Ezekiel chapter 3. And I was looking at Ezekiel 3 this afternoon as I was dozing off after that piece of cake that I had that I took home. But as I was thinking about Ezekiel chapter 3, we see that God's prophet would be a watchman. One who would watch over the children of God. One who would warn the people of God. And you will find language like watchman and language like watching over. And there in Ezekiel chapter 3, God says, if you don't warn properly as I've commanded you, you know what God says in Ezekiel 3? Their blood will be upon you. Their blood will be upon you. They were responsible for one another. But as we stop and think about New Testament application, one passage that comes to my mind is found in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye, listen to the language, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself. Now you'll know the context. Paul talks about a burden later on in the context around verse 5 that we are to bear on our own, which is personal responsibility. But then he talks earlier, Galatians 6 verses 1 and 2, about the burden that we help one another bear. And you'll see that has to do with the burden of sin. And so as we go through this life, we are to help one another. We are our brother's keeper. We are to watch over each other as we think about the nature of this Christian life. We should be helping one another go to heaven. If my brother is, or sister is overtaken in sin, God wants me to go to them. And to help them and to warn them about the direction they are headed in. In fact, if you stop and think about what biblical love is, what brotherly love is, that's really love in action. In 1 Peter 4, verse number 8, Peter says that we are to have a fervent love for one another. And then he says in 1 Peter 4, verse 8, in the same passage, love covers a multitude of sins. Well, how does love do that? How does love cover a multitude of sins? If I see my brother sinning, doing something that's contrary to the Word of God, I'm not going to close my eyes. I'm not going to decide, well, I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to upset them. No, if I really love that brother, if I really love that sister, I understand that I am my brother's keeper and I'm going to go to them in love, in meekness, in kindness. I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to try to pray with them because I love them. And so when you go back to Genesis chapter 4, you see how this question, am I my brother's keeper? How that question can help us think about the responsibility that we have toward one another. To help one another. And we should be willing to help one another. We should care for one another. And that's the kind of love that God wants His people to have. Let's look at another question. If you would, turn over to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus. As you are thinking about the book of Exodus, you You see that God is bringing His people out of Egypt. Most of the time when we consider the book of Exodus, we think about the various plagues. But here in Exodus chapter 10 is a great question for us to think about. Exodus chapter 10, notice with me verse number 3. And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, How long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Think about that question. God wants Pharaoh to know, How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? You know, as you think about that question really helps us understand what God desires from each of us. God wants us to lower ourselves. He wants us to humble ourselves. He wants us to recognize His greatness and our smallness. By the way, you see this attitude in John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. You remember what John would say in John chapter 3? He, speaking of Jesus, speaking of God, He must increase, but I must decrease. Again, speaking about the humility that we need to have as we go through this life. As I said, as we study God's Word, we learn a lot about our God. We learn a lot about ourselves. And as we study God's Word, we learn in Proverbs chapter 6 that there are some things that God hates. Yea, seven are abomination, Proverbs 16, verse 6. And then in verse number 7, the first thing that is listed in that context is a proud look. Again, what is it that God hates? He hates haughtiness. He hates pride. He hates when people are puffed up and arrogant and think more highly of themselves than they should. The language of Romans 12, verse number 3. And this certainly describes people like Pharaoh, who didn't listen to God, who Pharaoh hardened his heart against what God says, and God wants to know, the Creator of the earth. How long, Pharaoh, will you refuse to humble yourself? And I believe God would say that to any individual who has not obeyed Him. You see, humility is really the first step to obedience. Again, humility is really the first step to obedience. Where do we see that? I believe we see it in a very unique way in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 3, when Jesus said, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Think of the Beatitudes as a path that leads one into the kingdom. And where does that start? It starts with humility. Recognizing our smallness and our willingness to submit to God just like Jesus. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, who, being in the form of man, humbled Himself. Jesus, while on earth, humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, if we're going to be obedient to God, it begins with humility. It begins with a recognition that I need God and that I need to submit my life to God. I don't want to have a hard heart toward God like Pharaoh. I want to be obedient to my God, and I want to do His will. Listen to this warning in Proverbs 16, verse number 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. This question that God asked Pharaoh really helps us understand understand the humility that God wants us to have as we go through this life. Consider a third question from the Old Testament. If you would, turn with me to the book of 1 Kings chapter 18. Now I hope everybody sees how I put these in order as you're going through the Old Testament, so they'll be easy to find. 1 Kings chapter 18. In 1 Kings chapter 18, we see and read about the prophet Elijah in verse number 21. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 21. The prophet Elijah is going to come before the people. And notice what he says. Notice this great question. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if He be Baal, then follow Him. And the people answered Him not a word. Perhaps in our language today, Elijah is saying this. How long are you going to straddle the fence? Make up your mind who you're going to serve. Again, this question helps us better understand our God, and that is God wants us to make a decision when it comes to serving Him. God wants us to make a choice. In fact, as you think about the teaching of Jesus, as you go through the book of Acts and you look at Paul's missionary journeys, as you consider apostolic preaching, you'll notice that the gospel was always presented in a way that would cause people to make a choice. And God doesn't want us to straddle the fence. He understands that we have to make a choice. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse number 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other. You cannot serve, Jesus would go on to say, you cannot serve God and mammon. You see, half-hearted religion will never meet God's expectations. God doesn't desire half-hearted religion, and that is exactly what the people were offering to God in the book of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 3, verse number 10, God says this about His people. He says that they are half-hearted. Half-hearted. And later on in the book of Jeremiah, God will set forth this charge, this exhortation in Jeremiah 29 verse 13. If you search me with all of your heart, you will find me. Again, at the beginning of the book, He says they are half-hearted. Towards the end of the book, if you will seek me and search for me with all of your heart, that's the key. God wants our allegiance. He wants our commitment. He wants us to make up our mind. Think about what Jesus said about the Pharisees in Matthew 15, verse number 8. This people honoreth me with their lips, with their mouth. But what does He say about their heart? Their heart is far from me. You see, God looks at the heart. He searches the heart. And what He wants us, or what He wants to see is somebody that wants to serve Him with a whole heart. Again, not half-heartedly, but with the whole heart. In Colossians 3, verse 23 and 24, Paul says that for whatsoever you do, as you serve the Lord, you do it heartedly. Wholeheartedly as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. How long halt ye between two opinions? Oh, the questions that we find throughout God's Word can stir up our minds. They can really help us to think on a spiritual level. I am responsible to my brethren. I am my brother's keeper. I know that God wants me to humble myself. And I know that God wants me to make up my mind because He wants my allegiance. He wants me to love Him and to serve Him with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind, with my whole being. Now, if you would, let's look at another question found in the book of Psalms. Turn over, if you would, to Psalm 116. In Psalm 116, we see another great question in verse number 12. Psalm 119, verse number 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? Before you really answer the question, what shall I render, we first have to think about the benefits. Well, what are the benefits that we have in serving God? Perhaps there are other passages that we can turn to, but one passage that comes to mind that's found in the book of Psalms, and really several passages, is found in Psalm 103. And you'll see in Psalm 103, the psalmist is exhorting us not to forget the benefits. Well, the reason we're looking at Psalm 103 is because Psalm 103 gives us a picture of the benefits that we're talking about in Psalm 116. Well, what are some of those benefits? Well, from Psalm 103, verse number 3, we see that God forgives. We see that God heals. He did this physically, but more so spiritually. Remember, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Matthew 9, verse number 12. We need spiritual healing, and God is the one that can heal the soul's diseases. In verse number 4, we have redemption from the grave. We have a crown of righteousness. We have contentment. I like the other part of verse number 5. We have renewal. We have renewal, another great benefit that our God blesses us with. Here's a great passage in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. The outward man is perishing, but the inward man is renewed day by day. We need that spiritual renewal day by day that gives us the energy to serve our God. In Isaiah 40, verse 31, the prophet Isaiah would say that those that wait upon the Lord shall be renewed with strength. Again, we have that renewal, that promise of renewal. And we understand that the renewal that we find comes from God's Word. And you'll see that in Colossians 3, verse 10, when Paul says we are renewed through knowledge. When we feast upon the Word of God, and when we take the Word of God into our lives, it gives us that spiritual renewal that gives us the energy in serving God that keeps us from being discouraged. Again, the prophet, the psalmist says that we have renewal like the eagles. We have righteousness because God has made known His ways, and ultimately, we have salvation in verse number 10 where the psalmist says He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor hath He rewarded us according to our iniquities. And so Psalm 103 gives us a picture of the benefits that our God has given us. Now go back to Psalm 116, verse 12. As you think about the benefits, notice the question, what shall I render unto the Lord? What shall I give unto the Lord for all of His benefits? Everything I have. I don't know how else you would answer that question. Everything that I have. Well, we have been so blessed, spiritually speaking, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. as you stop and think about our response toward the benefits that God has given us, all of us should respond with gratitude. Having a thankful heart to God. And we express our gratitude for the good gifts that come from above. James 1, verse number 17. We have all been blessed in numerous ways because of our God. Listen to Psalm 84, verse number 11. No good thing will God withhold from them that walketh uprightly. You see the language? God doesn't withhold from us when we are walking uprightly, and we shouldn't withhold anything from Him. And so, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits? Everything that I have. That's what He deserves, and I want to give God what He deserves. Again, questions that we find in the Scriptures that help us think, that help us reason who we are as the people of God. Let's look at a couple of questions in the New Testament that we find in the Scriptures, and then the lesson will be yours. Turn over, if you would, to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. In Matthew chapter 20, I want you to notice this question. Now, Jesus is talking about the vineyard. In Matthew chapter 20, he's talking about the kingdom of God. And he says the kingdom of God is like a vineyard. And we know that there are different words used to describe the kingdom, because God is really helping us understand the nature of the kingdom. Look at the question, though, that God asks in Matthew chapter 20, verse number 6. About the 11th hour, He went out and found others standing idle, and said unto them, notice the question, why stand ye here all day idle? That's really a good question that provokes thinking, reasoning. Again, God's talking about the nature of the kingdom. And what He wants us to know about the kingdom being a vineyard is that there's work to do in the vineyard, in the kingdom of God. Think about all of the passages that encourage us, like 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. One thing that I can say about our God when we study His Word, one of the things that God hates is laziness. Remember lukewarm Laodicea? Because you're neither cold nor hot, I will literally vomit you out of my mouth. The Lord doesn't like laziness. You study through the minor prophets, and you study the section of the prophets where it talks about the people rebuilding the temple, rebuilding the walls, and at times, because of opposition, the work would cease. But they would continue to build their own field houses while the Lord's house would lay waste. And what does the prophet Haggai encourage the people to do? To consider your ways. And so these questions, they really cause us to consider our ways, our involvement in the kingdom of God. One thing that needs to be present in our lives as we think about New Testament Christianity is the work, is the toil that we are doing in the kingdom of God. Remember, Jesus said the laborers are few. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Matthew 9, verse 37. Pray for more workers. Because of the nature of God's Word. The nature of God's work, excuse me. Taking the gospel into all the world. Helping others in this life. There is so much work to do. There is no time to be lazy when it comes to the Lord's work. Think about that question. Why do you stand here all day idle? Listen, God is asking you that question. He's asking me that question if I'm not doing anything in His kingdom. Let's be sure that we are laboring in the kingdom, and let's be sure that our labor is motivated by love. As the Apostle Paul writes the congregation of Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 1 and even in 2 Thessalonians 1, Paul is mindful of their labor of love. Their labor of love. What a great attitude, what a great way to describe the work of God. It is a labor of love, and I need to be busy like Jesus, who said, I must be about my Father's business. Luke 2, verse number 49. Notice this question from the book of John. We'll have one more from the book of Matthew, but we want to make it interesting. We want to go back to the book of Matthew. Look at John chapter 6. John chapter 6. This is really a great question here in John chapter 6, verse number 61. John chapter 6, verse number 61. Now, this question is based upon what Jesus said, some things that He taught, and you could go back to verse number 54. And Jesus isn't talking about the Lord's Supper here. Let me just mark that or note that for you. He's not talking about the Lord's Supper when He says, Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, and here's the key, dwelleth in me and I in him. This is Jesus' unique way of talking about the closeness, the intimacy that we are to have with our Lord. As the Apostle Paul would put in Galatians 2, verse number 20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You see, the intimacy, the loyalty, the commitment that the Apostle Paul had made. Again, it's no longer I that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. Yet, when some of His own disciples heard this teaching, look at verse number 61, when Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples murmured at it, He said unto them, Doth this offend you? You know, one of the things that people may not realize about Jesus, we're not talking about Clay Bond here, we're talking about Jesus. One of the things that people may not realize about Jesus is He offended people. But do you see this context? Even His own disciples at times were offended by what He said, by what He taught. Let me give you another example. If you would, go back to the Matthew chapter 15, and this will really set us up for the last verse that we'll be looking at. But there's another passage where you find the same word. Matthew chapter 15. We alluded to Matthew 15 earlier, verse number 8, where Jesus said, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Verse 9, But in vain do they worship me, teaching for the doctrines, the commandments of men. Drop down to verse number 12. Then came His disciples, His, Christ's disciples, and said unto Him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees, here's our word, were offended after they heard this saying? Remember the question, does this offend you? I promise you that as you teach, as you preach the Word of God, as you live the Word of God out, letting your light shine in a dark, dark world, you will find that people get offended. You will find that what you stand for when it comes to being the bulwark of truth, standing for the Word of God, that people will be offended. Listen to what Hosea said about the people. What God said about His own people. In Hosea 8:12, God says, "I've written to them great things of My law, but they were counted as a strange thing." Counted as a strange thing. I attended several, I almost said funerals, but weddings. I attended several, got a bad habit of saying that, it's just a joke, but I attended several weddings this summer. Several of the students got married. And during one of those weddings, I was at the very back. And there was a brother who was leading a prayer on the behalf of the two individuals, the two Christians that were getting married. And he prayed that they would have a good life, a healthy life. He prayed that they would stick together to the very end. And then in that prayer, he talked about God's marriage law. And all of a sudden, you could see the body language in the back row. People shaking their heads. People hitting each other. You can tell by their body language that they did not like what that brother was saying in his prayer. And I promise you, if you spend any time teaching and preaching the Word of God, it doesn't take long as you're teaching and preaching that there will be times people in the audience aren't going to like what they're hearing from the Word of God. Perhaps that's why God told Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1. Remember, God sent Jeremiah on a mission to preach His Word. And the Word was burning in his bones. And Jeremiah would say, "O earth, 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 hear the Word of the Lord." But in Jeremiah chapter 1, God, and I've always wondered this, God told Jeremiah, "Jeremiah, don't look at their faces. Don't look at their faces. You just preach the Word." Again, the question, does this offend you? You know, when we talk about the Word of God, when we talk about the New Testament church, when we talk about how to worship God, when we talk about what it means to be holy and how we should live, does it offend you? Well, listen, if it's coming from the Word of God, we should never, ever be offended. And here's why. In Mark 8, verse 38, Jesus said, "If you're offended of Me and My words, I will be offended, ashamed of you." Again, if you're ashamed of Me, if you're ashamed of My teaching, I will be ashamed of you. You see, in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, the great invitation, when Jesus says, "Take My yoke upon you," do you know what He wants us to yoke ourselves with? He wants us to yoke ourselves with His teaching, with His Word. Let's study God's Word. And I'll be the first to tell you right now, there are times that I studied God's Word and God's Word confronted me and I didn't like it. That's why James would say, "Receive with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save your soul." Remember your attitude as you approach the Word of God. And remember everything that God is saying, it's good and it's for our benefit and it's for our protection. The language of 1 John 5 verse 3. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. And so as you study God's Word, oh, you're going to see that there's room for improvement. I think I hope I see that every time, and I hope you see that every time. I can be better. I can do a little bit more. I'm convinced every time we study God's Word, in some way it confronts us and it challenges us to do better, because God's expectations are high. And that's what God deserves. But listen, when God's Word confronts you and when it corrects you, don't run away from the Word of God. Run to the Word of God. like David in Psalm 119, 59 and 60. David says, I thought on my ways, and I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delay not to keep thy commandments. One more, and we'll look at this one very quickly. Look at Matthew 16, verse number 26. Notice this question, and really there's two questions in one verse. Familiar verse, Matthew 16, verse 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Question. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Notice the first question. What is a man profited if he was able to gain the world? That means to gain all the money in the world, to gain all of the power in the world. If a person was able to gain the whole world but lose his own soul, what has he gained? Absolutely nothing. He made the worst investment of his life if he gained the whole world and lost his soul. And notice the second question. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So many will choose the pleasure of sin over eternal salvation. And the Bible says the pleasure of sin is only for a season. Sin has nothing of value to offer. The only thing sin has to offer is death. The wages of sin is death. As we think about this question from Matthew 16, verse number 26, let me encourage you to make the proper investments, spiritually speaking. Let me encourage you to invest in the salvation of your own soul. Let me encourage you to invest in the salvation of your family's souls. Let me encourage you to invest in the spiritual condition of the church and the people of God. And let me encourage you to invest in the spiritual condition of a lost and dying world. I hope these questions tonight have caused you to think a little deeper, spiritually speaking, as we study God's Word. May God help us to study His Word and to read the Scripture seriously and to think about the questions that we find throughout the Scriptures, because these questions, again, they can help us think on a spiritual lesson. The lesson is yours. If we can help you tonight, won't you please come right now as we stand and as